Helen Casper, which is Pam's mother, passed away on Friday, I believe it was. And she was in a car accident about a couple weeks ago, and she just never recovered from the car accident. So we want to hold Pam and her family up in prayer. Helen hasn't been with us for quite a few, since COVID, but, you know, she would comment on Facebook and say that she was still watching and being part of our congregation. So we definitely want to hold Pam and her mom up in prayer. So will you join with me and pray for Pam and the Casper family? Father, we just thank you and know that in your due time, you have a time for all of us, Father. And Helen was just a wonderful lady that loved you, Father, and we just thank you for the time that we got to know her and spend with her, Father. We ask you, Lord, that you just bless her family now. Bless Pam, Father, and Pam's family, Lord, and just be with them as they grieve and mourn through this process. Lord, we just ask you that you touch them, that you'd provide for them. And Lord, as you promise, you mourn with those that mourn. And Father, we just ask you that you just reach out and give Pam and her family a big hug, Father, that you would protect them and guide them and strengthen them during this time. We thank you that even at this moment, Helen is celebrating in heaven with you because of the relationship she had with you, Father. And so we thank you for that. We just glorify you, Father, for that decision she made and the time that she could be with you, Father. And so we just ask you, Lord, again, to comfort those that were left behind and be with them now. We thank you for all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Also, for those that didn't know, I'm going to ask Miss Tanya. Come on up, Miss Tanya. Can we use this mic here? Is this okay? Miss Tanya has a testimony to give that I think we all need to hear. So there you go. I was going to say you should be turned on, Miss Tanya, but that's Pastor Chaz's job, not mine. So, sorry.
Can you hear me? Okay. He lied. I'm going to sing. I'm just kidding. So I'm going to condense this down probably the last 6 months into the last week. So within the last 6 months, I have been going through a lot with my eye. I had contracted a viral infection, and it blew a hole in my cornea, and I needed my glasses changed, blah, blah, blah. Basically, I'm blind in one eye and can't see out of the other now, but that's coming. And so I've been on medications and steroids and blah, blah, blah. And then last week, and I had a routine colonoscopy done, which, you know, those are fun. And mine came back not so good. So last week, starting on Wednesday, I dropped a knife, putting dishes away, and stabbed myself in the shin, which, you know, being diabetic, you run a risk of infection. Thursday, the next day, I got a call from my eye doctor that said, you know, we're going to try this hard contact in your eye to return, you know, hopefully restore some of your vision. If not, you're going to have a cornea transplant. Yay. Friday, I get another phone call from the doctor that said, Tanya, your colonoscopy came back and you have cancer. Well, so now I can't see out of my eye. I got a hole in my shin and now I have colon cancer. So this went in 1 week from you have colon cancer, you're looking at having part of your colon removed and chemo and possibly radiation. Okay, so I spent the next 2 days, of course, crying and in fear. And I wasn't in fear that God would not bring me, through the other side. I knew he would. But I was scared to death about what I was going to have to go through in between the chemo, the radiation. Am I going to be sick? Am I going to have a colostomy bag? You know, all this stuff. And God just kept telling me, he said, mm-mm. He said, you worship in the waiting. He just kept telling me over and over again, you worship in the waiting. And, you know, that song was perfect. I didn't speak Jesus. I screamed Jesus. I screamed Jesus. But I knew that I would be healed. But I was still afraid. My faith didn't waver. I wasn't mad at God or anything like that. So he said, I'm putting an urgent request in on this. He said, I want you to see an oncologist immediately. And I'm, of course, now I'm really freaking out. So 4 days later, I went to the oncologist at the Cooper Cancer Center, and he met with me, and he said, Tanya, he said, I almost called you to tell you not to bother coming in. So I'm thinking, well, this better be good, because, you know, I didn't want to. He said that it was, the cancer was basically so minute that where they had to take the polyp, tumor, whatever you want to call it, off, the cancer was at the base of it. So it was a stage one, and he said, he goes, I just want to let you know. He said, I thought referring you to a surgeon and not meeting me would be unprofessional. He said, so I thought, I want to meet her and ease her mind. And he said, you absolutely will not have to have chemo. He said, radiation, no. He said, you're probably going to have, you know, a little surgery just to be on the safe side to make sure, you know, they go above and beyond the spot. But he said, and I was, you know, trying to make light of it because that's what I do. I'm kind of like Jay. I kind of have to throw a little humor in there to process things. And I said, well, I'm glad because we just got a new pool and I didn't want to be laid up all summer. And he said, well, I'm this confident in it that, he said, you enjoy your summer and then have your surgery. So I'm praising God today that what the enemy meant for, listen, the enemy for 6 months has been out in my driveway doing push-ups every morning when I get up. And now, once again, God has brought me through it. This is twice now. He's brought me through two different cancers. And I just praise him. So yeah, I don't speak the name of Jesus. I shout and praise the name of Jesus. And I just want to give him glory for it.
Don't go far. Don't sit down yet. We're going to pray for you. So I just want to make sure I turn this off so Corey doesn't have a dead battery when he gets up here to sing. All right, if you want to come forward, we're going to pray for Miss Tanya. Because as she said, you know, the cancer is gone, or we speak gone, but we also want to pray for her eyes. And so if you want to just reach out your hands and let's pray for Miss Tanya and Pastor Chaz, because his mom is also going through a lot too. And so we just want to ask for strength for both of them as they go through all of these things. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for just the goodness of who you are and how much you love this family, Father, especially Miss Tanya, Lord. We do lift her up to you now, and we thank you for the good news and the word that you've given her to worship through all of this, Father. And Lord, we know that she is worshiping, she's screaming the name of Jesus, and we just continue to say that with her, Father. We speak Jesus over all of these things that she's going through, Father, especially her eyes, Lord. We ask you, Lord, it is your way of restoring sight. You've done that multiple times in Scripture, and so we believe even now that you'll do that in Miss Tanya, that you'll restore completely her eyesight, Father. And Lord, with this cancer, it is just an attack of the devil. We speak against that in the name of Jesus right now. And we proclaim her to be completely clean of that cancer and that it will not be bothering her any longer, Father. We speak that over her now in the name and the power of Jesus. And Lord, we also want to lift up Tanya and Chaz to you together. Just ask you that you give them strength and power, and Chaz's mom, that you would help her as she struggles through the battles that she's going through, and that you just give them strength to be the torchbearers of Christ that you have called them to be, Father. We thank you for their love. We thank you for their commitment to you. We just ask you that you just restore them, not only their health, but their strength and their peace and their understanding, all of these things, that you would just give that to them as they go through these things that they're going through now. But we speak that healing over Miss Tanya now in the name of Jesus. And we ask you that you just make it complete, Father. Make it whole. Holy Spirit, come and wash over her and complete that healing that you have already done and that you'll continue to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. No, I won't spit in the mud and then don't rub it in your eyes or anything like that. So that's funny, Miss Tanya. Well, for the last few weeks, we've been going. First of all, I want to also say thank you to Pastor Chaz for filling in last week, and to Eli for his first public performance last week with Lena and Corey. But thank you for filling in. We had a wonderful vacation, other than losing my glasses, as I've told some of you guys. I lost them in a river in the middle of North Carolina, actually. But so what's that? Thank you. Got these made in 15 minutes. So, yeah, it brings out, well, what hair I have left, right? Yeah. but I want to finish up this series of sermons. I know Pastor Chaz finished up with James last week, and we're not going to use the book of James, but I want to finish up a little bit of this portion of this sermon series today with a sermon about building bridges. You know, it's interesting because as we look around us again this week, it doesn't take very long. All you have to do is watch the news or watch anything. You'll see the battle that is raging in the world around us. There's a battle that is certainly going on, and we've talked about this the last few weeks, and we've talked about what it means for us. And we've been going through the book of James and kind of looking at how do we handle these things, what are we doing, and what are we just looking at? When I was on vacation, I was doing a little people watching, which I enjoy doing every once in a while. We went to a place called The Island in Pigeon Forge. If you've never been there, it's a kind of an outdoor shopping area / amusement park. It has rides and stuff. And we were sitting by the fountain watching this, and I was laughing because we were watching people come out of the moonshine after doing moonshine testing and then going straight over to the Ferris wheel and getting on this Ferris wheel. And I'm thinking to myself, that's not going to end well, right? But it was funny. But even outside of that, we were watching just the idea of people and just watching people. And I heard this conversation going on behind us, and the conversation, you know, I try not to plug my ears into other people's conversation. I try to tune that out, but this person was visibly and verbally upset because someone told them to have a blessed day. And the person's conversation was, why do they think that I need to be blessed? And they were having this conversation, this guy and this girl were having this conversation. And the guy's like, listen, honey, I'm sure it wasn't anything. He was just trying to be nice. And she's like, no, I don't care. I don't want this Christian crap thrown in my face. And as I heard about this, I wanted to turn around and say, I'm a pastor. Can I pray for you? But I didn't. I didn't do that. It wasn't long, though. You can quickly hear the hatred in the world around us for things of Christ. Around us in the world today, there are many things going on, and there's many people that just don't like the idea that we follow Jesus. They don't necessarily, let me rephrase that, they don't necessarily dislike the idea of Jesus, they dislike the idea of the church. Because the church tries to tell them what they can, in their mind, what they can and cannot do. And they feel like Jesus would be loving and open. And so as I sat here and I listened to this, I began to think about, you know, how Jesus in his time faced the very same things that we did, that we do today. You know, the religious world hated Jesus. So it wasn't just the world that hated Jesus. The religious elite hated him because he, according to them, blasphemed against God and the Father. But then also the world hated him. The Romans hated him because they were thinking that he was going to bring an uprising, and so they disliked him. Plus, the Romans did not like Jews, and Jesus was a Jew. And so there is this, the whole entire world was against Jesus. And yet, here we find Jesus, one of the most, well, not the most, he is not one of the most, but the most loving person that you'll ever find. We find that Jesus, loved people and went on about his business, even though people hated him. The very people that hated him, the very people that didn't want anything to do with him, he tried to reach out to and love. It's amazing as what I would think, he went above and beyond to invite the so-called sinners of the world to spend time with him. And he said in his own words, I have come here to heal and save the sick and the lost. I'm not here to talk to the religious elite. I'm not here to do those things. So much so that he invited the sick to his house, the ones that were called unclean, leprosy. He would go right up to the people that had leprosy. And if you understand leprosy at the time at all, you couldn't get near them. In fact, if a person with leprosy would enter into, someone would be coming near them, they would go, unclean! They would yell it. Unclean, meaning, don't come near me because I have this disease that you could catch. Jesus didn't care about any of that. He went right into them. Jesus also spoke to prostitutes. Let's be honest, there's several times in Scripture where Jesus had conversations with prostitutes. We won't go there. Jesus just was going there because he wanted to spend time with those people. He spent time with those. Matthew was a tax collector. He called Matthew to be a follower of his. You know, Matthew being a tax collector will be very much like the story of Zacchaeus that we hear today. But we find that Jesus loved them, and Jesus wanted to be with them. Do you know that 44% of non-believers want to know about Jesus? In a recent study Barna did, I had an opportunity to listen to this study, this release of new data that came out, and he said 44% of non-believers want to know more about Jesus. Now, if you understand that roughly at some point we thought the Christian population of the United States was somewhere around 70%. Now they say it's closer to like 60%. It's dropping the Christian population. But if half of the non-believers who don't go to church, who don't follow Christ, want to know about Jesus. But you know, out of that same half, 89% of them want nothing to do with the church today. 89%. It's very evident. How many people do you, if you look around here in the church, I love us all because we're all family. We love being with each other. But how many around us, if we look around us, there's no one in here that hasn't been with us before. Visitors are not coming to church any longer. Why? Because they don't want to hear about the church. They're okay with hearing about Jesus. They just don't want to hear about the church. See, even in the midst of a busy schedule, Jesus took time for those that needed him. If you go to Luke chapter 19, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. We're going to be looking at verses 5 through 7. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone to be a guest of a man who is a sinner. This is Jesus' interaction with Zacchaeus. And when we find Jesus' interaction with Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus is a tax collector, much like Matthew was, and he was short in stature. Scripture says, because of his shortness, he had to what? He had to climb a tree to see Jesus. And so he climbs up into this tree to see Jesus. He doesn't care about going to church. He wasn't caring about going to the temple. He wanted to see Jesus. Zacchaeus didn't care about the religious elite. He didn't care about anyone else. All he cared about was he wanted to see Jesus. And so how does he do that? He climbs up into this tree. Now, Jesus is coming down the pathway, and as he's coming here, this is days before Jesus is going to be hung on a cross. Do you understand this? This is merely just days before the event, if you want to say this. But Jesus is spending this time. And what does he do? Jesus stops in the midst of all of his planning, in the midst of everything that he does. He stops to do what? Spend time with Zacchaeus. Who is Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus is a tax collector who, by the way, is hated by everybody. Much like Jesus was. The Romans hated Zacchaeus because they thought he was a traitor to his own people. And so they thought very poorly upon him. The Jewish people hated Zacchaeus because Zacchaeus was robbing his own people for money. If you didn't know, hopefully you do now, but Zacchaeus as a tax collector, many tax collectors at the time would charge above and beyond the normal tax that the Romans would charge so that they could pocket some extra money. And so we find Zacchaeus hated by all of these people. Zacchaeus is short in nature. He's like, hey, I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. I can't see Jesus. And so what does he do? I'm going to climb the tree. He climbs the tree. Jesus, on his way, preparing the Passover meal, doing all of these things, stops. He looks up into the tree and says, I must stay at your house today, Zacchaeus. Let's stop there and pray, and then we'll continue on with this message. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for all that you have done in our midst and that you are doing in our midst, Father. Lord, we thank you so much that you love us and that you care for us and that you're willing to spend time with us even though we are sinners, Father, even though we fall short of the glory of God. Father, may we have your hearts in this today, this battle that is raging on in the world around us. May we know that your heart is true for us and for them. And may we have that same heart, Father, where we can build bridges into the world around us like you did. Lord, help us to have the goal of being like you in all things. Lord, remove any hindrances from our minds and from our ears and from our eyes. Help us to be awake and alert to hear the message that you have for us so that we can share this message with others. We thank you, Lord. We glorify you. We honor you. We praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. See, Jesus was, even in the midst of this very busy schedule, Jesus was going to take time for Zacchaeus. Jesus was going to pause. Now listen, this is a side note to the rest of the sermon here, but how many of us use the excuse, and I've used it before in my own life, is that I'm just too busy. Work is piling up. This is piling up. All the work at home needs to be done. The grass needs to be mowed. This needs to be done. I don't have time. I don't have time to do the work of the Lord. Jesus never once used that phrase. He never once denied spending time. He paused. Think about it. Even in the midst of when he's going down this road, he's in the middle of this town, all of these people around him, he's going to heal a young child because a rich man has come to him. A rich man has come to him and said, listen, my child is sick. I need your help. And so his disciples are rushing him through the crowd of people. And a lady reaches out to touch his robe. He's busy. He has somewhere to go. He has important people to speak to and to take care of. And just because this lady touches his robe, he stops and he says, who touched my robe? For I perceived that power has left me. He spent time with the people even when he didn't have the time to do it. If there's something that we can learn from Jesus today is that we need to walk away from our busy schedules and learn to spend time with those around us that need us. That need Jesus. Now listen, I know we're all busy. I am too. We all are. You just don't understand. I used to use the excuse, you just don't understand how busy it is being a pastor and you have to do all of these things and I just can't do everything, right? That's true. But when someone comes to you and says, hey, I found out I have cancer. Guess what? You make time. When someone comes to you and says, I need to know a little bit more about Jesus. Guess what? You make time. When you see someone hurt, you make time. Even this morning, I'm driving here, and as I'm driving, if anyone knows where Route 5 bypass and 59 cross there, you know, I was driving down the road there, and I'm coming to church, and I was running just a few minutes late, and I knew that Jeremy and Belinda would be here waiting for me, and so I'm rushing to get here. And as I drove around, I see this car that's down in the ditch. And I thought to myself, I should just keep going. You're going to be late. Keep going. And then I thought, oh, wait a minute. I'm going to be preaching on being too busy to help people out. And I'm going to pass this car that's down in the ditch here. And so I stopped. And I get out and I walk over. And I'm like, Lord, please let the car be empty so I can just get in my truck and go again. Right? And I walk down. The car's in the bottom of this pretty deep ditch. And I go down there and I look and I knock on the door and I'm looking in. I'm trying to look in. Thankfully, there's no one there. And so I didn't have to worry about that. Obviously, this had happened at some point before. This person is no longer there. They must have been okay. I looked around just to make sure there's no one hurt. There's no one around. And I proceeded on to leave. But the truth of the matter is that how many times are we faced with an opportunity to share Christ, but we don't take it because we're too busy? Hobbies, work, life, family, all of these things. We put Christ off and helping someone else and loving someone else because we use the excuse that we're too busy. I understand that. I understand that this is true, but Jesus never did that. Jesus always found time for someone. Jesus always stopped what he was doing to share with someone. He did that with the lady in the midst of the crowd who touched him. He did that for Zacchaeus. He stopped in the middle of busy schedules to work with them. What we find, though, is that Jesus is now going to Zacchaeus. And what's interesting is that, and when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. So the religious elite, all of the people who come from the temple, the Seraphies, that's the new one, right? Sadducees and Pharisees, I like the Seraphies better. That just combines them both, okay? But no, the Sadducees and the Pharisees are all casting these aspersions against Jesus, saying, he's going to be with sinners. Can you believe that? Well, yeah, that's what Jesus did. Jesus spent time with sinners. He invited to have dinner with them. Now, I do like Jesus' way. By the way, Pastor Chaz, I'm coming over to dinner on Tuesday night, okay? That's exactly what Jesus did, right? He comes up to Zacchaeus, looks at him, and says, I must have dinner at your house tonight, so I'm coming to your house, right? He invited himself to Zacchaeus' house. I'm joking, by the way. But if you invite me, I'll come. But but they, it's interesting. I put him on the spot, too. You don't have to invite me, okay? Hey, cereal, yeah. Frosted Flakes, please? No, I'm kidding. But Jesus spent the time, but the religious leader looking at him saying, what are you doing? You're inviting a sinner. See, what happens today in our culture is that Jesus was trying to build a bridge like what he's calling us to do in our culture today. This building of a bridge, Jesus is trying to build a bridge with Zacchaeus. And he knows to speak to Zacchaeus, he can't speak to him in the tree. He could have. Jesus knew all things and he could have done anything he wanted. But the best way to reach Zacchaeus, the best way to have this conversation with him is to go to his house and have dinner with him. See, there's something about having dinner together. I don't know what it is, but there's something. Maybe you're open, you're more vulnerable, you're sharing dinner, you're sharing food with each other, you're sharing time together. You're spitting with each other as you're throwing food in your mouth. I'm kidding. But you're spending this time together with each other, right? And there's something about doing that. Jesus knew that. He didn't listen to those that were angry. He didn't do what others thought he should do. He did what he knew was best. And that was build a bridge with Zacchaeus. So he went to his house. This is a big deal, guys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. This is a huge deal. You don't just have dinner with someone. Back then, the people that you had dinner with meant that you were honoring someone. You were giving a special place. And so when you were invited or you came to someone's house, this was a big deal. Today, there's some drastic differences in beliefs today. All around us, we are divided. Listen, I want to be very sure that you understand my point of view, and I think I've done this clearly the last few weeks, but I want to make this very clear again. Our Christian beliefs are being attacked in the world around us. Anywhere you go, they're being attacked. In fact, my wife and I just watched last night the special on Netflix, or Amazon Prime, I think it was, about the Duggars, right? And I don't know if any of you have spent time watching this, but the Duggars, 19 and counting and stuff like that, you know, they've gone through some trouble and all of these things. But it was really interesting because for three quarters of the show, 75% of the show was about how bad it was to have Christians being Christians, right? And I'm thinking to myself, well, that's okay. Some of the things that they're arguing about was like, oh, that's bad. No, it's not bad. That's being a Christ follower. That's okay. The world around us is attacking our beliefs everywhere we go. Now, having said that, guess what? Back in Jesus' time, they were attacking his beliefs as well. Nowhere that Jesus went, people didn't believe in him. Jesus didn't had to win people to his beliefs everywhere he went. There was many people against him. There's drastic differences, yes, but there are also drastic similarities to what we are facing today in the time that we are living compared to what Jesus did at that time. See, we are encouraged to hate people with differences in the world around us. The world around us wants to hate each other. The people who are LGBTQ, the transgender, want to hate Christians because they think we hate them. Christians are called to hate the LGBTQ because they're, you know, sinners and they're all of these things. Well, yeah, they are, but so are we. And before we say those types of things, we have to be careful. Blacks are supposed to hate whites. Whites are supposed to hate blacks. Asians are supposed to hate other races, and we're supposed to hate Asian people. And the race war and all of these things that are going on is very true. That's happening today. There is the very few people today are building bridges in the culture that we live in today. But we are called to build bridges. Do you understand that? Jesus calls you and I to build bridges with the people around us. The problem of it is that there's a couple things that we do instead of building a bridge. Instead of building a bridge, we get angry. We get angry, we get mad because we can't understand how someone could think or act like they do and how it is opposite from us. We get mad because how could a man and a man be together? That's gross. That doesn't make sense. And that's so anti-biblical. Yes, it is anti-biblical. That's all true. And we get angry and we get mad. And so what do? We stand up and much like I can't think of the name of the church, the Wacko Baptist Church, Westboro Baptist Church, you know, where they say, I hate fags, and they stand in front of all of these, and they do all of these nasty things at I'm having a hard time, abortion clinics and those types of things, but they protest, funerals. Yeah, military funerals, protesting at military funerals and other things. They're doing crazy things. See, what happens is that is the picture that is being painted to not only believers, but it's also being painted to non-believers about what the church is like. And then you throw onto it the media and everything else that makes churches hateful because, oh, by the way, we hate people who think different than us. No, we don't hate people that think differently than us. Yes, we have difference of beliefs, and yes, we think things are differently, but we don't hate those people. People who are transgender, people who are LGBTQ ? All of those things are welcome in this place. Now, we won't welcome them to leadership, and we'll be careful about what we allow them to do, but we allow them in this place. Where better to build a bridge with these people, to love on these people, to get to show them the love of Christ than in a church? The problem of it is that today the world around us thinks that the church, and the church has done a pretty good job of not building bridges, but instead burning bridges with that culture. And so we have been very vocal in saying all of these things about people and how they should be this way or how they should be that way, instead of trying to respond and build that bridge. Jesus built that bridge. Do you understand that Jesus did not like what Zacchaeus was doing? I'm sure if we would have had a conversation with Jesus and said, Jesus, what do you think of Zacchaeus? Well, he's a man that was created by me. Yeah, but what about how he steals money from the Jewish people? Yes, that's wrong, and he shouldn't be doing that. But guess what? I still love him. See, the interesting thing about Jesus is that Jesus loved those people that seemed to be unlovable by anyone else. And thank God that he did, because if he loves the unlovable, that means he loves you and I too. Because at the end of the day, we're all sinners in here. That's right. We all fall short of the glory of God. See, anger is a response to something that we don't know how to handle. We get angry at situations because we feel like our way of life is being threatened. We feel like what we know is best is wrong, or being told it's wrong. And that is our natural response, is to get angry. There's nothing wrong with being righteous in our beliefs and understanding that we stand for what God says is right, and we do. Yes, Scripture does say very clearly what a man is a man and a woman is a woman, and marriage is a man and a woman. There is not a man and a man, or a woman and a woman, or a they and then them, or whatever else that they do today, right? But Jesus still would have built those bridges. Do you understand that? He still would have asked them to come have dinner. In fact, he did. He had dinners with them. The other thing that we do is that if we don't get angry, we avoid the issue. Hey, what you do in your house is up to you. I don't care what you do, just as long as it doesn't bother me. How many times have we said that? I've said that. I know that. The truth of the matter is that avoiding the issue is just as bad as getting angry with it. Because avoiding the issue makes it seem like we agree with the issue, and that's not necessarily right either. And so we have to be careful not to avoid the issue as well as not getting angry with the issue. The problem is that for many years, the church just avoided this issue. For many years, including the years that we were a church, we avoided this issue. We didn't talk about this issue. We didn't bring this up. We didn't do this. The 70s and 80s were all about the love and coming to know Jesus and the Jesus movement. And all of those things are wonderful things. But we weren't diving into the cultural issues of what's going on in today's world. And so therefore, we avoided that issue because we didn't want to deal with it. That doesn't happen in our church. That doesn't happen in the church. That's happening outside, where Christ would have instead, I believe, confronted that issue. And let people know that they are loved. And so we must not just avoid the issue. We must not just get angry with the issue. We must understand, how do we deal with this issue the way that Jesus did? Jesus never avoided an issue. Do you understand that? Never. Never once. The woman at the well, did he avoid the issue with her? Absolutely not. I see that you are not living with your husband. In fact, you're not living with the past five husbands you had. That's not avoiding the issue. Now, if I approached a woman and I knew she had five husbands, I'm not going to go just say, hey, I feel like you've had five husbands. No, I'm going to say, how you doing? How's the weather today? Right? That's avoiding the issue. Jesus never avoided the issue. Jesus had open conversations with these people. He talked with them. Jesus also called us, and if we are going to follow his commandment to go into the world, guess what? That means we can't avoid these issues. Because going into the world means that we're going to face this issue. We're going to face people who think differently than us. And what are you going to do with that? How are you going to handle that situation when you're faced with this? How are you going to handle this situation when someone in your family comes up and tells you that they're this way? That's a question that we have to answer ourselves, because the world is doing this. How are we going to tell kids? Listen, they're going to come home from school, if they're not already, they're going to come home from school with teachings that the school tells them that it's okay to question your gender. It's okay to question what you think you are. No, it's not okay. We can't avoid the issue at that point. That's the worst thing we can do. We have to face this issue on and build the bridge to help them. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 8, one of my favorite verses. For while we are still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, that he died for us. One of the most amazing things that Jesus Christ did is that he died for you while you're a sinner. Do you understand that? Before you came to know Jesus Christ, Jesus died on the cross for you. Before you came to say, what I'm doing, before I came to repent of the things that I was doing, Christ died on the cross for me. The reason why we are where we are at today, and the world is where they're at today, is because we are lucky. Well, I don't believe in luck. We are blessed to have found Jesus Christ at the time we are. The reason why they are where they're at is because they have never come to the realization of who Jesus Christ is. At the end of the day, Jesus died for us as much as he died for the transgender people who are out in the world. The gentleman who's doing the Nike commercials and the Bush beer and all of that other commercial, or not Bush beer, Budweiser, Dylan, whatever, right? Bud Light, yeah, whatever. It's all crap to me, so I don't care. But Dylan Muldoon, whatever his name is, you know what? Christ died for him. Take the worst person that you can think of, the most aggravated, the most, you can't say our president of the United States, although I know some of you are opted to say that. But you know what? Jesus Christ died for him too. Jesus Christ died for the most vocal transgender person. Jesus died for the very people who are now in schools trying to teach your kids to become transgender. Jesus died for them. The differences between us and them are that we have had someone built a bridge from our sinful life to our life in Christ. Someone spent time with you to share about Jesus Christ. I can't imagine. Listen, I love to hear his testimony, because his testimony is amazing testimony about what he went through in his life. But someone took time to build that bridge from his past to where he's at today, and introduced him to Jesus Christ, and allowed him to walk away from those things that plagued him alcohol and those things. Am I correct on that? The same thing with all of us. I didn't suffer through alcohol, but I suffered through other things. I had other issues that I had to take care of, that I had to repent of. And guess what? Someone built that bridge and showed me, hey, this is how it happens. Someone took time with me. See, the thing of it is that we can do nothing. We can get angry and we can fight and we can go out here and we can battle and we can become militant Christians. Because there are people out there trying to do that today, that they believe the best answer is to be militant. And when I say militant, I mean they believe that, you know, guns and ammo and all of those things. I'm not against guns or ammo, and I think at a time in our country we will need those to protect ourselves, but I don't think that's the answer. The answer truly is building a bridge. How do we do that? How do you build a bridge with the people around us? Because Jesus didn't just die for you and I. You have to understand that. He didn't just die on a cross for you and I. He didn't just come to this place and said, you know what, I'm going to die for Pastor Chaz, but I'm not going to die for this person over here. I'm going to die for Pastor Jason, but I'm not going to die for this person over here because they're going to be a transgender or they're going to be an LGBTQ question mark, whatever the alphabet soup is nowadays. Jesus came to die for all of us. So I say today, we need to become more like Jesus. We need to learn to love, learn to build that bridge, learn to stand on our beliefs, what's important to us, but also learn that Jesus stood on his beliefs. Jesus never once wavered in his belief. Do you understand it? Never once in his faith did he. There was never someone that approached him that he did not say, oh, I need to go home and think about that because that might be right. No, Jesus knew exactly what he believed in. And so should we. We should stand on those beliefs. But also in the midst of all of that, Jesus Jesus already knew, but Jesus loved people. And so we need to learn to love people like Jesus. We need to stop being angry. We need to stop avoiding the issue. We need to come out of the dark and learn to love people that are different than us. How do you do that? Well, there's a couple things that we find that Jesus did. Number one is that he's empathetic. This doesn't mean, listen, when I say he's empathetic or be empathetic, I'm not saying that you go around and say, oh, I'm sorry that you're this way and I agree with you. No, that's not what I'm saying. Listen, these people are struggling. These people are struggling with their idea of their identity and who they are and all of these other things or whatever issue they're struggling with. They're struggling with sin. At the end of the day, that's exactly what it is. Guess what? Every single one of us in this room is struggling with sin. And if you're not, I'd call you a liar. Every single one of you are being tempted by sin in some way. Guess what? Those people are too. It just looks differently than you and I. You and I are our sin. I guess is a better way of saying that. So we need to learn to be empathetic. Not because we want to agree with their actions, but we want to love them like who they are. Who are they? They're Christ follower, they're Christ-created people who need to be following Christ. They are people that Jesus made. They're people that need to know who he is. We're not hating them because they're different than us. Instead, we're trying to be empathetic to them as human beings. See, somewhere along the path, we've lost the idea of being empathetic to other humans. We just don't care anymore. And that's sad. The sad reality of it is that many people around us are going to hell quickly, and no one really cares. Or very few people care, I should say. Think about it. If we really cared about people and wanting them to know who Jesus Christ was, then we would be spending every last waking moment we could to win them to Christ. Our neighbors, our family members, people that we interact with at work, we would care. See, we need to learn to be empathetic for who they are because they are humans that Christ loved, that Christ created. They're no different than you and I, other than they're not been blessed with the opportunity to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The second thing is that we need to learn to be humble. We need to humble ourselves. Just because we are living biblically doesn't mean that we are better than someone else. At the end of the day, our sin is not better or worse than someone else. Your sin that you face is as bad as the sin that they're facing. There's nothing better about your sin. Sin is sin. I know we want to put levels on this, and I know we want to say, well, you're a murderer and I'm not, so that makes you a little worse than me. Does that make it worse in our eyes? Yes. Is it still a sin in God's eye? Yes, it is. Well, you're transgender. You cut your, never mind, I won't go there. But you're transgender. You did some things that you shouldn't have done, right? Yeah, you're right. You did. But guess what? You're a gossiper. You're a liar. You steal time from God. You steal time from your work. Because what are you doing? Instead of working, I'm on Facebook or I'm on social media or whatever else, right? Is that any better than, Your sin is no better than someone else. We need to learn to be humble in what we're doing to those people. Learn to reach out to them in Christ. We're just, I love the saying, and a good friend of mine, pastor friend of mine used to say, we're just two beggars trying to find a piece of bread. And the bread of life that I found led me to Christ. The bread that he found led him to a full stomach. That's really what we are. We need to be those types of people that are humble in ourselves and humble at others. And see, the truth of it is that our sin to God looks no different than their sin. It's still sin at the end of the day. And guess what? Jesus died on the cross for the sin of transgender. He died on the cross for the sin of lesbian, homosexuality. He died on the cross for all of that. He died on the cross for racists, white, black, red, indifferent, doesn't matter. I don't care what it is. It was interesting. When we were on vacation, we went into a little town called Cherokee. And if you've ever been to Gatlinburg Pigeon Forge area, it's very built up. It's amazing with just everything that's around there. In this little small town, they have everything you can think of. You go over top of the mountain, and as you go down into Cherokee, there's hardly anything there. And I was wondering about that. And so we were at dinner one time, or one of the days, and I was talking to someone. I said, why isn't the Cherokee side of the Smoky Mountains built up like the Gatlinburg Pigeon Forge area? And the guy held back nothing. I mean, he didn't pause for a moment. He didn't think about it. He goes, it's because those Indians live there. And I thought to myself, I'm like, wow, that's racist if I've ever heard of that before. And then he proceeded to say it's impossible to do anything over there because they don't have people at work. They don't have all. And he just went on and on and on. I won't repeat everything that he said. And I thought to myself, that's a sin. I was thinking to myself, this man is so racist to those people that he doesn't understand that. But the truth of the matter is that when we look at someone else's sin different than us, guess what? We've done nothing better than what he's done. When we say that they're terrible people because they do this, they do that, we're no better. Number three is that we must learn to sacrifice. How many of you would sacrifice your schedule for someone you go to church with? I think if I called you up today and said, listen, I need your help. It's important. Will you come to my house? I bet you hopefully a majority of you people would show up if I asked that question, right? What if someone who thinks differently, looks differently, acts differently, has a marriage to someone who is the same gender as them, calls up and says, hey, I need your help with something? Most likely you're not going to be quick to help that person out. Truth of the matter is that we must learn to sacrifice ourselves. Jesus sacrificed his time, his energy, his strength. You know that Jesus would have rather been in the garden praying than going to Zacchaeus' house? Jesus would have rather spent time with his father saying, hey, Father, I need your help because I'm about ready to die on the cross. I'd rather do this. But no, what did Jesus do? I'm going to sacrifice myself and I'm going to go spend time with Zacchaeus. I'm going to have dinner with him because that's what Zacchaeus needs. We must learn to sacrifice ourselves, sacrifice the time that we have. Sacrifice means taking time out of your busy schedule to share with those around you. See, to build a bridge, we must sacrifice something. And most of it is time, right? Spending time. I'm going to build that bridge. And then finally, the last thing that we need to do is make it about Jesus. Don't make it about their sin. See, we need to separate, love the sinner, hate the sin, right? There's a lot of truth to that, but there's also a lot of problem with that. The truth to that is that, yes, it is a sin. We should hate the sin that someone's dealing with. But we need to make it about Jesus. When we approach these people who have a different belief than us, let's show them the love of Christ. not the love of the church. Listen, the thing that we've done for too many years is said, come to my church and hear about Jesus. They don't want to come to you. They don't want to come to church. They don't, because they feel like they're going to be judged, and rightly so. Many times they have been. People come to church and you see a woman and a woman holding hands together as they're walking to church. What happens? Don't sit next to me. I don't want to sit next to you. It might rub off, right? It's like cooties. I might get it. Right? Or you see a man who is obviously very feminine and they come to church. What happens? Oftentimes they get immediately classified as a lesbian or as homosexual or any of those types of things. Why? Because in our mind, we have already done that. Instead of making it about Jesus, make it about Jesus, because you know why? Jesus loves them. If we're going to fight this battle has to be fought the way that Jesus fought it. If we're going to be victorious in winning people to Christ, guess what? We got to fight like he would. And how did he do that? He did a lot of it on his knees in prayer, but then he did the rest of it by building bridges to those people. It doesn't mean that we, listen, I am all for standing up and saying, listen, I no longer buy Nike apparel and I no longer am going to Target. My daughter hates it, but she no longer goes to Target too. Why? Because of what's going on there. I'm okay with that. Because those are corporations. Those are, but if someone who is a person comes to me and says they're transgender or they're lesbian or they're homosexual or whatever it might be, guess what? They're invited to my house. Come to my house. Let's have dinner together. I'll take you out to dinner. I'll buy you dinner. I'll buy you a cup of coffee. I'll do those things. Why? Because until we build relationships with these people and we start sharing with them how God loves them as a person, we're not going to reach them. Instead, what we're doing is just furthering the divide. And Jesus doesn't want us to further the divide. He wants us to love them. As he says in Romans, that for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. That ungodly seems like there's a division of ungodly and godly people today, as there ever have been before. But we need to learn to build bridges. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. Truth of the matter is that today the bridges aren't being built, they're being burned down. Some of that is on their side, some of that is on our side. We need to learn to build bridges with the people. That starts with sacrificing our time. When's the last time that you invited a sinner to your house for dinner? Well, if I was over at your house, you invited me, I'm a sinner. But when's the last time you invited someone outside of church to your house to have dinner? To share the love of Christ with them. When's the last time you found someone who's so different than you, so uncomfortably different than you, that you invited them to dinner? You invited to spend some time with them. See, it's easy to avoid. It's easy to walk away. It's easy to be angry. It's easy to be all of these things. But at the end of the day, if we're going to follow Christ, then we must learn to build those bridges and challenge ourselves to do this. So my challenge to you today is to find someone in your life that thinks differently than you and invite them over for dinner. Invite them to take them to dinner. Take them to lunch. Take them for a cup of coffee. It doesn't, listen, and if the conversation goes that direction to what they believe in, that's okay. Some of my best friends that I have in this world are non-believers. Why? Because I'm building bridges with them. And I know one day when the proverbial, is that how you say it? Yeah, whatever. When the stuff hits the fan, right? They're going to need to call somebody. And isn't it funny that when the chips are down and everything's a problem, guess who they call? They call Christians. Will you pray for me? Wait, what? My best friend, when I was in the business world, I'd share Christ with him almost every single day. I'd go in there and I'd tell him every day, I'm praying for you. Stop praying for me. I don't need God. Yes, you do. You just don't know it. And I continued to pray for him. I continued to do those things. And he would give me a hard time about it all the time. You know, the day his father passed away, the very first call he made was to me. And he goes, I bet you never thought you'd hear this, but can you pray for me? I said, yes, I can. And then he said, the second thing that you never hear from me is that, can you come do my father's service? I said, yeah, but you know I'm a Christian pastor, right? And he goes, yeah, I know you're going to talk about God, and that's okay. The truth of the matter is that until we start to build those bridges, we're no different than them. We're just lobbing hate that way. How about instead of lobbing the hate towards them, how about we start building that bridge and lobbing the love of Christ over there? Standing strong in our beliefs, not wavering in who Jesus Christ is, but learning to love those people. Will you stand with me, please? The battle is raging in our culture today. And much like the time that Jesus was here on this earth, the way that we win this battle is not in the way that we think. Jesus was expected by many believers to bring an army with him, to bring legions of angels and military power and might to overthrow the Romans and overthrow the government and change the world completely. And you know what he did? Instead of doing that, he died on the cross for them. He loved them so much that he was willing to give up and sacrifice his whole entire life and all of his pain and all of those things to die on the cross for him. That was unusual. They didn't expect that. See, today the world expects us to hate them, to toss that hatred towards them. Instead, as the song said earlier, let's speak Jesus to them. Let's bring Jesus to them. Listen, you don't have to change someone. You don't have to make them, you don't have to make a transgender go back to their original sex. You don't have to go to someone who's LGBTQ and change their mind on it. You don't have to do any of that stuff. You know why? Because God does that. All we have to do is introduce them to someone that loves them so much, that wants to care for them, that wants to provide for them, that would die, that has died on the cross for them. And we just have to introduce them by sacrificing our time and building that bridge. My friends, church is not the same as what it was in the 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s, even the 90s. Church is not the same. We are being called out of the building and into the community around us to build those bridges to those people that are different than us so that we can share Christ with them and bring them back into. This is the training ground, the ground that we get comfortable with, the ground that we get our understanding of, the ground that we are discipled in so that we can go out and we can share with the world around us. And as we do that, we will win people to Christ. And this battle will be won in that way. But it requires a commitment to us. A commitment from us, I should say. A commitment for you and I to go out into this world and build bridges. So are you ready to be a bridge builder? Are you ready to overcome your anger, overcome your fear of avoidance, all of those things of avoiding the issue, and face it head on with Jesus Christ? Because the only other option is that we stay within our protected little bubble here, our cocoon, if you will. And then what happens? Eventually, every single one of us in this room will get old and die and pass away. And what happens to the church? The church will cease to make a difference in a community because if we don't go out into the world. Jesus knew that. That's why he called us and he commanded us to go out into the world, making disciples of all nations, of all men, sharing with them everything that we know. So let me encourage you today. Go out into the world, make a difference, build bridges, and love like Jesus loved. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are. We certainly know that in a room this size or even online, there may be some that are coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ or have never come to that knowledge, that love. They have never felt the love of who Jesus is. Never have they felt that, said, listen, I don't care what you're into. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care all of those things. All I care about is you and your heart, and I love you. If you're here in this place or you're watching at home online, maybe you've come to this place of saying, I want to love like what Jesus has. So simply it's just giving your heart to him and saying, come into my heart. Make me different. Make me like you. Maybe you're here today and you have avoided or been angry at what's going on in the world around us. I know I certainly have. been angry with everything that's going on and just angry with the people that think differently than me. And Lord, I'm feeling convicted that I haven't built enough bridges. And so Lord, help us today to build those bridges, because you died on the cross for us, even while yet we were still sinners. That includes us and that includes them, Father. So help us today, Lord, to walk in this love. Forgive us for the times that we have not. And help us to enter into the world around us, to share the love of Christ like you did, Father. We love you, Lord. We glorify you. We honor you, and we lift you high and mighty. Just ask you, help us today to do those things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's worship together.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mouth. I know there is peace within your presence, and I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to ring. You bury, there is hope and there is freedom. I speak with Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is high. Break every stronghold. Shatter the shame. I just want to shout the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Your name is mine. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Your life is shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets. Jesus, save the darkness over every enemy. Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets. Jesus, save the darkness over every enemy. Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is high. Every stronghold shine through the shadows. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is power. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn out the fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. 'cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. You'll break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like fire.
You know, I certainly know it might be much easier for me or Pastor Chaz or someone else to stand up here and just give you a sermon that says, hey, be the best that you can be happy, be all of these things, be great. It's a lot easier to preach that, to be honest with you. It's much harder to say, be Jesus. Why? Because being Jesus means that you have to build those bridges. You have to cross over the boundary of what is good and what is comfortable in yourself. And so I stand up here today understanding that the assignment I give to you is not easy, but it's needed. We need more than ever to build a bridge with our community around us. Because if we don't, again, there's many people that won't hear about Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I don't care whether they're lesbian, transgender, homosexual, black, white, green, purple. I don't care what color they are. I don't care whether they have tattoos, they don't have tattoos. I don't care what church they go to. I don't care whether they go to a church, don't go to church. They need Christ. And we have what they need. And so when we avoid, when we're angry, when we set on it, and we don't do anything, what we're doing is saying, you're not good enough. And guess what? They're as good as you and I. So let's go forth and be Jesus to our community. Be Jesus to the people that think differently than you. Be Jesus to the family members that you may or may not like. Be Jesus in every way that you can. Father, we thank you for this day. We glorify you, we honor you, we praise you, we lift you high and mighty. And say you are worthy of all that we have, and we give it all to you. Help us today, Lord, to be bridge builders like you were. Help us to reach out to the Zacchaeuses of our world to share with them the love of Christ, because they need it, Father. Encourage us, build us up, help us to do all of these things in the power and glory that comes only from you. Holy Spirit, send us forth and give us these opportunities this week. We love you, Lord. We glorify you. We honor you. We praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you again next week.